Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Andrew.
And this is FPL SideNet.
Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable.
Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a pitch.
Hello, managers. Welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on Monday, April the 1st, April Fool's Day for those celebrating. And as always, I'm joined by my man, Andrew, who definitely ain't no fool. Andrew, how was your Easter?
Mate, it was all right. I mean, it wasn't...
Chocolates and green arrows?
Chocolates and green arrows, yep. Yep, that's right. Smiles and cries, baby, as they said in training day. Yeah, I mean, I did have to work pretty much all weekend, so those are the cries, but there was plenty of chocolate, so there's the smiles.
Oh, wonderful. And I know we're going to get onto your side fairly soon about what you've had in store, but has it been a fun weekend in FPL Tinkertown?
It has. Although I've got to say, I assume you're referring to my imminent wildcard. Is that
yes,
what we're
yes,
talking about
Yes, I wasn't
here?
Referring to anything like improper.
I was hoping not. I was like, this is a family show, Peter. Yes, I have been fiddling all weekend, and but yeah, I had the whole international break to think about it, which I was doing quite a bit over the international break. So really, once the deadline passed and I was able to activate the wild card, I pretty much put the bones of what I was expecting my wild card to be in place straight away.
Yeah.
And there's been a little bit of tinkering because there was some complications with price changes that kind of ruined my plan A. I was 0.1 short of that. So there was a bit of tinkering around the edges there, but largely like the bones of it were kind of in place. And I don't think it's going to change too much, to be honest.
Well, I think we'll get into that in a bit more detail soon, but you know, just like the Easter Bunny, we better hop to it because it is it's a quick turnaround to game week 31, really. You know, a day and a half away from it. But again, big juicy green arrow for yourself. 68 points, smashed it out of the park yet again.
Well, you say again, like I had two red arrows in a row until now.
True.
So yeah. So basically I did have a decent green arrow. I got, I think, 68 points, and then I think I went from 130K to 105K. So 2 weeks ago, I was at 104K, and that was the best. That was kind of my season peak, and I had two red arrows in a row. And so this week has basically brought me back to where I was at the end of game week
27.
Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with that. You know, I did expect not using a chip in the blank game week. I did expect potentially a red arrow there. So I had a couple of small red arrows, which I wasn't too concerned about. And I'm just happy to be back on track this week.
Oh, lovely. I suppose the big difference or differential for your side this week was that you had multiple clean sheets in your side.
Has that ever happened this season? I don't know.
Well, like, you've had two clean sheets.
Yeah, it was.
They're hard to cover.
Insane. Then yeah, it's not easy. I had Pau Torres, which I think is a little bit of a differential. So I didn't expect a clean sheet from Villa, but yeah, that was a nice surprise. And then the other one that I had was Gabriel. Once again, probably didn't expect that clean sheet.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, Pedro Porro was my other defender. I thought he was probably the most likely of the three to get one, and he didn't. And then I had Areola in goal, and I was lucky enough that. Firstly, he went off injured at halftime, but he made three saves before he went off, and they only conceded one. So he ended up with 2 points, which is, you know, in a game
probably
where
better than what he usually does.
Probably it was probably better than what he would have got if he'd stayed on for the whole game, to be honest.
Yeah.
So yeah, happy with that. Just quickly going through the rest of the team. I think really, what gave me a decent week is the fact that I had. Palmer, Son, and Salah. And I kept my faith in Son, I captained Son. So I was pretty happy with that because it was between Son and Salah for me. I know Palmer scored the most, but I was never really realistically going to captain him. I don't think so. And then I got an assist from Tony. So I think just like those, a couple of like maybe having the second clean sheet and then having like a little cheeky assist from Ivan Tony was maybe just enough to give me a pretty decent week.
Yeah. No, really, really good week indeed. And yeah, especially getting in the Egyptian King. I mean, a little bit unlucky. He only finished with 7 points because watching back the highlights of that game where it was just the highlights were just Mo Salah just shooting a goal.
Yeah,
it was insane.
100%. I mean, we've been talking about how I've had a good week, but like, yeah, I there's a few things about my week that's really frustrated me. And one of them is like, how did Salah only score one goal? like it's actually incredible. Like there was a good, there was an amazing save, I think, from,
Was it
Verbruggen?
Bart.
Yeah. And you know, like he would have had an assist off a offside that was like offside by a bee's dick. And then, you know, a couple of other shots that normally he would have done a lot better with. Similar story for Ivan Tony, to be honest. Like he could have scored a lot more than just the one assist. That one-on-one where he hit the inside of the post, that hurt. And the other thing that really hurt this week is actually the transfer to bring in Salah, because it was between Richarlison and Bowen out to bring in Salah. And of course, after, you know, Ange declared Richarlison fit, I just decided that Bowen was the one that had to go because I didn't want to lose Richarlison before home game to Luton. So off Bowen went, and then he scored 10 points and Richarlison got a 1 point cameo. So that was extremely frustrating, but at least if you put the whole week together, it's a decent week, so it doesn't hurt too much.
Yeah, can't do too much about it. I mean, Ange usually is a bit of a straight shooter, but in the end, maybe Richarlison only playing a few minutes was better for the Sun captaincy in the end, but
yeah, who knows? Potentially. I mean, Sun's another one that could have scored a lot more. That one shot that hit both posts before missing.
That's FPL. Yeah,
it is. I feel like this, it was a week of, it could have been so much bigger for everyone.
Even Cole Palmer, I mean, he should have had an assist right at the end. Raheem Sterling, being the donkey that he is, just, you know, doing what he does best.
He shouldn't have had the penalty, though. You've got to admit that was...
Oh, no,
that
penalty was complete jam.
That's a dog shit penalty.
Like, yeah, that's awful. I mean, the officiating all weekend was really bad. The Calvin Phillips penalty giveaway, like for Newcastle, I thought was so bad. Like, I know Calvin Phillips is a bit lazy in that scenario, but Gordon just literally jumps in front of between him and the ball as he's about to kick it. Like, I can understand fans' frustrations.
They normally don't give those. They normally don't give those.
I think these days they have to, because technically it's right by the letter of the law, but you see that live, and you just can't think that's a penalty.
I mean, normally they take into account who initiates the contact, and you could argue that it's, you know, Gordon that's initiating the contact there. But anyway, and that was, I mean, as a non-Gordon, non-Isak owner, I mean, those penalties were frustrating for me as well.
Anyway. Yeah, so green arrow for you, 68 points. Myself, I finished up with 64 points. I did take a hit, so that was actually 60 points after I went through the wash. But yeah, my side, I had Dubravka in goal there, so only 1 point, seeing as they conceded three goals against West Ham. The Gabriel clean sheet was very, very handy this morning against Arsenal. Alfie Doughty, 2 points. Gusto's the problem, 1 point. Which we'll probably touch on a bit more. Saka, the three, yes. Salah, Palmer, Son, like yourself. Son, I captained. I was set on Salah captaincy all week. And then seeing the reports that Richarlison was, you know, probably likely to only make a cameo in the game, and seeing how bad Luton's numbers are. They're like one of the worst at, you know, expected goals conceded and shots in the box. And I just thinking about it, I thought, oh, this sounds like a Sun game against that type of Luton defense with all their injuries and everything. So I swapped it around on deadline day to make that work. So I was pretty happy with that in the end. And my other transfer for the game week was, yeah, Muniz for the 6 points. So Quentin will be very happy about that. Erling Haaland and Ollie Watkins. Then I was, I did have to take the hit to get Salah in, and losing Solanke was the choice I was going to make. But now with that, it's sort of like you with your Bowen Richarlison call. Now seeing the Watkins injury when I could have kept Solanke is a little bit annoying.
It's got to be frustrating, yeah.
A little bit frustrating because, I mean, it was probably the optimal call, like to keep Solanke with the doubles and stuff, but I really wanted to keep Watkins. But anyway, it was, basically between Muniz and Semenyo. And, I decided to go with the fun punt. And, he should have had a hat-trick too, but...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it at length in the last episode. It was, you were really tossing up between
Muniz
and Semenyo. So I'm glad that you went with probably the most fun option.
Yeah.
That maybe not the best option in game week 34, but definitely the best option between now and that point. Mm. And it's already paid off for you.
Yeah.
So I was kind of trying to steer you towards Semenyo last week. And I'm glad that you didn't listen to me.
Well, to be honest, I was probably leaning more that way, and especially trying to work out funds I needed for future moves and stuff because the budget was so tight. But I figured I made the moves. I can't remember if it was like Thursday morning or Friday morning. Anyway, I did them before these players all rose and other players dropped. So worked out okay in the end. But 60 points, 6,000 green arrow. I'm up to 330K. So keep moving. But that's what it is.
Yeah. And is now the temptation to go Watkins to Solanke? If, I guess, depending on like injury news for Watkins.
Not at the moment, because with my bus team, I was probably benching Watkins anyway this week.
So you can afford to wait.
I can afford to wait, and I can afford to take the price drop with him because of just when I bought him and the price. So if he drops overnight, or, you know, he probably will drop by the deadline. That's not actually going to matter too much to me. So if we get some...
Did he drop today? I think he might have dropped today, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
So he'll likely drop tomorrow, I dare say. But that won't affect my budgets at all at the moment. But I'll wait because there's still some juicy fixtures there for him. But at least if I need to, I can get rid of him. But because in my side I've got the quote, I'm using the air quotes, the power midfield. I've got the power five. So I was always going to be benching one of the forwards this week, and it was likely going to be Ollie himself. But anyway, I want to talk about your team because it's all about you. You're on the wild card. Fun times, but you don't have that much time to enjoy the wild card. But I want to know, what's the team looking like right at this very moment?
It's looking pretty good. Like I'm pretty settled on it, like I said before. Unfortunately, I was really sweating on a Solanke price drop the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Pretty much every day for the 4 days before deadline, he was projected to drop and he never did. So I don't know if it's another case of manual intervention or if just the algorithm got it wrong or whatever, but if he'd dropped the 0.1 that I was hoping he would drop, then it would have allowed me to have the wild card that I had been planning, which basically involved having Raya in goals and then I think it was Richards as like the cheap defender to go with that. So a total of 8.9, I think that makes, right?
Yeah.
That would have given me because Solanke was going to be the upgrade for Morris. So obviously I needed to spend some money there. But Solanke never went down. So I was 0.1 short of that. So I've had to make a bit of a compromise and get a different goalkeeper and defender combination. But apart from that, the wild card is exactly as I sort of planned it through the international break. Not too much has changed. I was considering Lascelles. He was one of the cheap defenders I was considering, but his injuries obviously ruled him out.
Yeah.
So apart from like a couple of little things around the edges with the cheap defenders, it's pretty much as I planned it out. So I'll sort of go through what my draft is looking like at the moment.
Yes, please.
So keeping in mind that this wild card is, I've built it with a bench boost in game week 34 in mind.
Yep.
So I've got my the goalkeepers. I've got Henderson from Crystal Palace, who's now the one and only choice for them because Johnston's out, I think, for the rest of the season with an elbow injury. So I've got Henderson and Pickford as my two goalkeepers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone really cheap in the defense. Basically, my most expensive defender is Gabriel. I've got Ait Nouri. I've got the double Arsenal defense with Kiwior.
Yep.
So he was one of the compromises I had to make because I couldn't quite afford what I wanted. But I am pretty happy with him. The more I think about it, the more I am fairly confident in his ongoing starts in the team. So I think if he starts the vast majority of the games for Arsenal, which I think he will do, then I think it's actually a pretty good pick for 4.4.
Yep.
I've got my other defenders are Munoz, who's the attacking wing back from Crystal Palace. And Branthwaite from Everton. So really cheap across the back, but a lot of double game weekers for game week 34.
Yeah.
And then my attacking players are Son, Palmer, Salah, Saka, and then my cheap fifth mid is Sarabia. So once again, from Wolves, double game week in 34, probably on penalties for them. So, and then my forward line is Haaland, Solanke, and Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
So basically with this team, in game week 34, I mean, it's a good team for the weeks between now and 34. I'm very happy with how it looks sort of each week. But for game week 34, which is my sort of planned big bench boost week, that's going to give me, I'll just count them up. That gives me 12 double game weekers. And then I'll get a 13th because in the week of 34, I'll move Sun to another double game weeker. So I'll have 13 double game weekers. That the Sun might go to like a second Liverpool mid, someone like Diaz. It could be Diaz or it could be like Eze from Crystal Palace is probably the other good option. And then I'll just go straight back to Sun the following week. But so I'll have 13 double game weekers in game week 34, seven of whom will be penalty takers. And then I'll also have Haaland and Palmer as single game weakers on that bench boost.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully a big bench boost week. You know, there will be quite a few free hits out there in that week that I'm competing with as well, but also quite a few people that won't be playing a chip. So I'm hoping that this wild card is going to give me a boost in the next couple of weeks and then 34 as well. And then, obviously, from that point, I'm going to have to focus on getting some more Chelsea and Spurs assets in. But I don't envy people that are wildcarding this week and trying to load up on Spurs and Chelsea because it's less clear this week, I think, than it was last week, which of those Chelsea and Spurs assets you'd want.
Yeah, especially with the Gusto injury now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a Gusto injury. There's also doubts about Richarlison's fitness. Maddison doesn't look himself. Like, he played quite deep and he just doesn't. He still just doesn't look like he's back to full fitness either. So, and, you know, continued issues with the Spurs defense. It's like, apart from Son and Palmer, it's really not super clear who you want from those teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose you got the key assets at least, but I mean, you'll be loading up on those Spurs players anyway, after game 34 anyway. So you've got the time to see and review.
That's right. My plan is to come out of game week 34 with two free transfers, and then hopefully by then it'll be a bit clearer which assets from Chelsea and Spurs I want.
Yeah.
And then especially if the double game weeks end up being in 36 rather than 35, then that'll give me a yet another free transfer to bring in another asset.
Yeah.
But we don't know that yet. We don't know what week it's going to fall in.
No,
but yeah, that's how my wild card's looking at the moment. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on it because obviously you know, plenty of time to further tinker with it if you had any feedback.
No, I really like it. I mean, yeah, Kiwior was a player I was sort of looking at, like part of my future transfer plans, but it's one of those players that I feel is could be 50-50. Like, it just takes Zinchenko to be fit, or it could be one of those games where Arteta rotates the side because, I mean, Kiwior's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And my worry is that once we get to the closer to the Bayern Munich games, what's Arteta going to do? Because I don't think he's not going to play the same back four in all the league games and the Bayern Munich game. So there's going to be rotation there. So I mean, once we get to that double, it could be a case of maybe he plays 60 minutes and then maybe in the other game he comes off the bench. But
yeah,
I can't see Zinchenko not playing if fit.
Yeah.
That's my only worry.
I think that's fair. I kind of feel a little bit better about Kibior now than I did even 24 hours ago. I mean,
yeah.
Zinchenko was on the bench for that Man City game and he didn't get any minutes at all.
Yeah, I was really surprised about that.
Yeah, they did bring Kiwior off, but they put Tomiyasu on. And I was watching the second half of that game this morning, and I actually didn't think Tomiyasu was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came into the game sort of cold, I guess, and he took a little while to sort of catch up to the pace of the game. But he wasn't particularly impressive. There was a couple of kind of like panicked clearances and misplaced passes, and he just sort of didn't really seem like he was in the rhythm of the game like some of the other players were. So
yeah.
Given how good Kiwior's been, that kind of did make me feel a bit better about how important he is to the side and the security of his place. But I definitely agree. I just think that, you know, in those double game weeks where you got, you know, Champions League teams, like there's rotation risks everywhere.
Yeah.
So I mean I think that Kiwior is first choice for Arsenal. You know,
it looks
similar
like
to
it.
Yeah, similar to Darwin, like he's first choice for Liverpool, but in a double game week, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he only started one of the two. So I think that, yeah, there is probably a risk that Kiwior misses, you know, a couple of games between now and the end of the season. But I still think that in the games he does play, he's a really good option, cheap avenue into the Arsenal defence. And, you know, he has actually been getting a few attacking returns. So there's a little bit of upside there. With him as well.
Yeah, I like it. I was just trying to think in regards to your side. Because I suppose, yeah, you only need Cole Palmer because you don't need double or triple Chelsea because they don't come into play until 35 onwards. And as far as Spurs goes, yeah, you got Son for now, which is great, and you can flip him for someone else in 34. And although I suppose you can't really spread the funds, can you? Because you'll need to get him straight back.
Yes and no. Like I can. My plan is just to go Son down to a midfielder of my choice in 34.
Yeah.
Having said that, I am planning to just make the one transfer in 34 and come out of 34 with two transfers. So if I then want to go back up to Son, you know, I can, like, I can use a second transfer as well to make some more cash if needed. So there's going to be players in my team that maybe after the double game week in 34 is gone, I don't necessarily need anymore, or they might be a bit more expendable.
Yeah.
I think that's a bridge I can cross when I get there. I guess the other thing that's a bit of a concern about this side is it's literally 0.0 in the bank. So there's no wiggle room at all.
Yeah.
If I do sell Son and I lose a little bit of value on him, I can't just make that direct transfer back necessarily,
yeah.
Which is obviously, you know, sort of the concern that you were raising. But I will have that second transfer that I can maybe use to cover that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So if you do, let's just say tomorrow morning Solanke goes down, you get that 0.1 back that you can play with. Who does Rye come in for? Does he come in for Pickford?
No. It was basically Raya and Richards. It was Raya and Richards, or it was Henderson and Munoz. Raya and Richards. Yeah, that's right. So it was Raya and Richards or Henderson Kiwior. So Henderson Kiwior adds up to 8.8. Raya and Richards adds up to 8.9. So I was 0.1 from my ideal combination of Raya and Richards. But the horse has bolted on Solanke's price going down because people are bringing him in again now, you know, in advance of the game week 34. And obviously he scored in this game week. So,
yeah,
he had to go down basically before deadline, or in the day directly after deadline.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that. So the horse has bolted on that. So that plans out the window. So I've had to make these adjustments, and I've just got to hope that that Kiwior isn't like a frustrating player that kind of punishes me because he's not as nailed as I think he is.
And I suppose the other issue is hoping that Darwin doesn't pick up those two yellow cards between now and 34.
I was very happy that he didn't get one this morning. This morning it was this morning. Yeah, so he didn't get one this week, which made me feel a lot more comfortable about it because he really only needs to avoid getting 2 in 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so hopefully he's aware of that and he can be disciplined enough not to pick up those cards, but I guess time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. And I'm looking forward to seeing that side of yours locked in once we get to that deadline midweek. So hopefully there's no curveballs between now and then for you to manage.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there will be, but anyway, I'll just, we'll see what happens if and when that happens.
Yeah. I like it. All right. Well, what we'll do now is we'll take a quick break and then preview game week 31 and also give our Goodwill punting tips for that game week. All right, welcome back to the FPL Sunday podcast. And yeah, game week 31 kicking off at, well, we got an FPL deadline here of 4 a.m. Wednesday morning. Andrew's going to be up, still sitting, you know, population one in Tinkertown. He'll be finalizing that wild card as we steam into the 5:30 a.m. kickoff between Newcastle and Everton. And we also have, yeah, Forest, Fulham, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Burnley, Wolves, and West Ham Spurs all on Wednesday morning. Jeez, but yeah, Newcastle, Everton to kick it off with Isak blistering on the weekend with you know, two goals and, you know, really, really pushing his case for FPL managers out there.
Yeah. One thing I will say about that, or two things, is he's not going to get two penalties every week.
No.
and this week, unfortunately for Newcastle and unfortunately for Gordon's going to be suspended. So, you know, he's probably the most attacking and creative player outside of Isak. So will Isak find life a little bit more difficult without Gordon? I don't know. And, you know, every time Isak plays 90 minutes, he's 90 minutes closer to his next hamstring injury. So, I'm okay with not having Isak at the moment, although, I might be eating my words.
Gordon picking up a suspension ahead of playing Everton.
How suspicious.
Yeah, if this game was at Goodison Park, I would be like full, you know, tin hat.
You'd be in full conspiracy theory mode. Like
My Fox Mulder, the truth is out there poster behind me.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah, maybe because the game's at Newcastle, I should give him the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, it's going to be, yeah, I know Isak was like really appealing, you know, with that points haul and your fixtures coming up too. They look really good. But yeah, I think without Anthony Gordon there, it's a little bit more tricky for them to manage. And I mean, Harvey Barnes really rescued them on the weekend, but he's shown he can't really he doesn't have that consistency this season with all the injuries and everything, but, you know, maybe it's the start of things to come.
Yeah, I guess they're hoping that it is the start of a reliable run of form and fitness for him. I do like Harvey Barnes. Like, he's a great player to watch when he is fit and when he is firing. So always liked watching him at Leicester. So, you know, I hope he does do well for Newcastle between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, well, Everton need to pick up points. They've been absolutely terrible. And Newcastle, with all their defensive concerns, you know, they lost Botman during, you know, just before the international break, and now they've lost Lascelles to an ACL, which is tragic for them. And yeah, so they're really walking wounded at the moment. But
that's right. I mean, Trippier, we're still not sure if Trippier is going to be back. Are we?
No, we're still not too sure. But even with all those concerns, can Everton actually physically put the ball in the net?
Well, I know that Calvert-Lewin can't, so that leaves like Beto and like maybe like Dwight McNeil, and let's face it, Branthwaite's better at putting the ball in the net than Calvert-Lewin. But yeah, I mean, Harrison's another option. They do have players that in theory should be able to do the goals.
Yes.
But yeah, maybe. If anyone can concede goals to Everton, surely it's Newcastle.
That is a very good point. But then we got Forest, Fulham. So, yeah, Forest, you know, I heard something today. Maybe it was I was listening to Planet FPL, and they were talking about how the pressure is really on Nuno Espirito Santo at the moment, that there's whispers that if they lose to this game to Fulham, they might just get rid of him.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, you can sort of see why they've been absolutely terrible since he took over. Like, there's been no
Yeah.
real bounce. They've had the points
No.
deductions, and yeah, I don't think they've
I mean,
won a game since like
I thought that he was
December.
a bit of a no, yeah, sorry to interrupt you. I thought that he was a little bit of a weird appointment in the first place. I don't know at the
Yeah.
time if you kind of thought so too. Because he kind of didn't really leave Spurs on great terms, did he?
No, he'd and then he went to Saudi Arabia. I think he won a title in Saudi Arabia. I don't know. I can't remember.
I'm
Saudi
like
Pro League
I
isn't
draw
on my radar.
yeah, I draw the line at keeping track of how things are doing in Saudi Arabian football. So, I've got no idea how he did over there, but yeah, I've never been a huge fan of him as a football manager in the Premier League. So, but yeah, I think it is a bit hasty to sack him. After he's literally only been how long ago was it that they hired him? Like 8 weeks
Oh,
or so?
like I don't know, 3 4 months ago.
Oh, was it that long, was it? Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay. So, yeah. Still,
long enough.
it's a very Watford thing to do to be sacking two managers in one season.
True, true. Well, I mean, it's like what the Forest used to do this all the time. Like back in the Championship, I remember Forest, Leeds, yeah, Watford, they just sack managers constantly.
Yeah, just a merry-go-round of managers between those
Yeah.
clubs. Yeah,
But
fair
anyway,
enough.
as a Mooney's owner. With Fulham, it's looking like a good fixture for them to attack.
Yeah, for sure. I think last week I think I said that the Forest game kind of had one all written all over it,
Yeah.
and I don't know. Like I'm feeling it again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Forest just seemed to love a one all draw.
Oh, yeah. They have that aura about them at the moment. They're not exciting. They are a little bit dull, but yeah, they'll need to change things soon if they want to remain in the league. Bournemouth Crystal Palace, another interesting fixture for Solanke owners. You'll have a side full of Crystal Palace bench warmers
Yeah,
for this.
I was gonna say, yeah, the Crystal Palace players that I've got are getting nowhere near the pitch this week.
I tell you what, though, I mean, you were sort of talking about, you had Sarabia in your side, and you're thinking about, maybe Eze instead. If are you tempted to maybe have Eze instead of Sarabia, and then maybe you play him in this fixture, or although I suppose
No.
Wolves against Burnley.
No, I can't afford that. So, if I end up getting Eze for the double in game week 34, it's going to be for Son, who's got a
Okay,
blank that week.
gotcha.
Cause, I mean, Sarabia is only 4.7, so
Oh,
he's
really? That cheap? I didn't realize it
yeah,
was that cheap.
I know that. Well, I mean, that was one of the reasons why I thought that he was such a good option. Like
Yeah.
he's probably on penalties. He's 4.7. He's got a pretty decent double in game week 34. So he kind of seemed like a no-brainer. I mean, it was between, to be honest, it was between him and Garnacho at 4.9.
Yeah.
Man United, they've got Sheffield United at home in 34.
Oh, yeah.
Not a double, but as good as it gets without being a double. So, but I think the fact that Sarabia is on pens and that Garnacho can potentially get hauled off before 60 minutes, as he did this week. That's what led me towards Sarabia, plus the 0.2 saving.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. But yeah, it looks like a really good fixture on paper for Bournemouth. But yeah, who knows? Palace maybe might shop there. But yeah, Burnley hosting Wolves. Now Burnley won't have Vincent Kompany on the sidelines after he got red carded after that shocking penalty against Mikhailo Mudryk. I can understand why he lost his rags to that because it was shocking. But yeah, that might be a bit of a concern for them. But I'll say this, Burnley were unlucky to not actually win that game against Chelsea. Like that's how bad Chelsea was, but also Burnley just, even with 10 men, were the better side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would not at all be surprised to see Burnley win that game home to Wolves. The Wolves weren't particularly impressive against Villa this week, were
No, they weren't.
they? Yeah, so I mean that's a game that I think Burnley can, they probably aren't going to go into that as favourites, but they could probably, think to themselves that that's an opportunity for 3 points.
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll go into that with a bit of confidence. Yeah, Wolves. I know Ryan Aitnauri has been a player that's had a few, like he's had at least one rise over the last week, and you know, a popular pick looking at the fixtures ahead. And yeah, came really close to, he should have scored against Villa, but some concerns because I think he got hauled off about 63 minutes against Villa, but there's not too much concern about that. Apparently, it's just more to do with just squad rotation and fixtures. Yeah. And
apparently he played lots of 90 minutes in the international break for, is it Algeria? Was it Morocco?
Morocco, I think.
Anyway, whatever team.
Apologies to fans out there of either of these that we've got wrong.
I know, yeah. Excuse our ignorance. But yeah,
we're really tight.
We are. I think it's Black Wolf who's the Wolves expert on Twitter. And he seemed to not be too concerned about it. He thought it was international break fatigue related.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's been fantastic for them recently.
He has been really good. Yeah,
so should be safe. I'm hoping he's safe.
Yeah, he's definitely on the menu for lots of managers out there. And then, yeah, West Ham, Spurs. So a game in the past that has given Spurs a few issues there. But, yeah, the London Stadium will be rocking as Ange's boys head there. But, yeah, this one just looks like it's going to have goals. I can't – there's no clean sheets here.
No clean sheets here.
How early
could be another 4-3.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting one. But then, yeah, Thursday morning, we've got Arsenal-Luton. Yeah, there's a few. I know some people got rid of Saka recently, and I'm not quite sure why, but, yeah, I think they'll be really ruining that decision once they get to Thursday morning.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there is some slight concern about the fitness of Saka, isn't there? But
I think it'll be all right.
Yeah, I hope
Saka
so.
Saka plays
really
all the time.
So. Yeah. He did seem to there was one moment in the game against Man City where he kind of like rubbed the back of his hamstring, and I know that that's what the international break injury was, and it wasn't much longer after that that he was taken off the field. You know, normally you wouldn't expect Saka to come off in such a big game. He'd be a 90-minute guy. So I do have a little bit of nagging doubt, but to your point, he's kind of like Gordon for Newcastle. It doesn't really matter what happens to him. They just seem to roll him out for the next game, no matter what.
Yeah.
And every game's a huge game from here until the end of the season for Arsenal.
Yeah, I agree. So it's going to be a tough night for Luton. And Brentford-Brighton, Bees versus Seagulls. Look out.
Yeah. I tell you what, Brentford looked pretty good against Man United. They so absolutely unlucky. Bossed that game. And, you know, it could be like Mbeumo could be good to start.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he's had a few bench appearances and he's been looking all right. I think he hit the post again, did he?
Yeah, I think so. I think they hit the post four times against United the other day.
Yeah, so I actually like Brentford in this game. Just them being at home. And I think the way they played against United, you know, having Mbeumo-Tony partnership back, like I actually quite like them in this game. They seem to be coping all right with all their defensive issues. So, I think it's going to be a good game. I just think that the home team might just nab that one.
Yeah, it should be a fun one to watch. And then we got City-Aston Villa. Villa. They beat City earlier on in the season from memory, but
it was 1-0.
Yeah, it was 1-0. That's right. But it's going to be a bit of a tough ask going to the Etihad and taking on City, who probably can't really afford to drop any more points after this morning's nil all with Arsenal and, you know, 3 points behind in the title race. So, I wonder if we'll see ruthless City coming back soon, but more defensive problems for them. Ake picked up an injury, which was disappointing. Stones didn't play, did he?
No, I don't think he did.
Blank. And same
with
Walker.
Think he did. Yeah. They had who Diaz, came on for Vardiol. Ake?
Oh, it was
Lewis?
Yeah, Rico Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah. But Guardiola is back. So at least that's some positive for them.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think it matters too much. Like, I think they're just gonna have the vast majority of possession. And they'll probably just score enough goals, you know, to win the game, even if they do concede to Villa. Yeah. especially if Villa don't have Watkins, which is a massive concern.
Yeah, that's the one. Then you know, there'll be lots of managers out there really sweating on that information, trying to decide what to do. Like I mentioned, he was probably going to be on my bench anyway, so I'm probably going to just leave him on there and hope for the best. But hopefully we should get some news. But yeah, we might, for us here in Australia, we might not find out with, you know, the timing. It might be like a 2 a.m. news, that we get that news a couple of hours out from the deadline. So it's going to be a tough one for us here to manage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, because we're going to want to lock in our team sort of before we go to bed on a Tuesday night. So I don't think we're going to have that information, but it is a perfect opportunity to just leave him on the bench for a week, as you're planning to do, given that they're away to City. And then, you know, just hope that it is a minor injury and one game is all that he misses, or, you know, or even that he plays in that one. I think that, yeah, just for those reasons, it's very reasonable to hold him for at least one more game week until we have a bit more clarity.
Yeah, that's the plan for me. Then, Friday morning, Liverpool, Sheffield United.
This is the one.
All those Salah captainers just setting the table in the morning and having a feast on some points. Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any concern about Salah being rotated in this one. Like, potentially this could be a game where they, you know, if they're up 3-4 after 60 minutes, maybe he comes off early in preparation for the Man United game a few days later. But
yeah, maybe.
I think that, again, similar to Arsenal, every game is so important. I think they're just going to play their, as much as they can, they're going to play their full strength team, get the job done, and then maybe manage minutes with substitutions rather than with actual benchings.
Yeah.
I guess that, I don't know whether that's just like kind of wishful thinking because I've got Darwin and Salah on my wild card, but I really do feel like that's probably how they'll manage it.
Yeah, I have a similar feeling, although I wouldn't be completely shocked to see, you know, someone like Cody Gakpo
get a start.
With, like you said, with that United game coming up and everything. But yeah, they'll be looking just to get the business done early and then worry about rotations, I think.
Yeah. I think so too. And if Darwin gets 30 minutes off the bench, he probably has plenty of time to get a goal and an assist anyway.
Or hit the post four times.
Yeah. Or both.
And then you're rounding it out, Chelsea, Man United. So, as a Cole Palmer owner, which many of us are, you are as well. After seeing what Brentford did against United the other day and like just the amount of shots they give up, I was just thinking, there's 100% playing Cole. Like, there's no way I'm going to be benching Cole Palmer in this game.
No, you can't do that. No. I don't think you can. I don't think you can bench Cole Palmer.
Yeah, like I don't think Chelsea will win, but Cole Palmer will score.
I think they might. It's a bit of it's a battle of the battlers, isn't it? So who knows what's going
to
happen? But
both sets of fans will be singing to get there. You know, you get exact in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Like, Chelsea have been disappointing, obviously, recently and all season, to be honest. But Man United have had quite a few poor games as well. So anything could happen in this one. Literally anything could happen. I think the only thing that would surprise me is if it was kind of quite a low scoring game. I think there will be goals in it.
That Chelsea defense is leaky as hell. So yeah, there will be goals. But yeah, the other news coming out after that game against Burnley was the Malagusto injury. So I mean, he did sort of grab his hammy. He did walk off. He seemed to walk off okay. We still haven't had like any proper confirmation about how serious the injury is. Maybe it was just a niggle. Maybe he just felt something.
Yeah.
Maybe
it was just cramp and he just thought that he should go off and not to, you know, risk anything. Who knows?
Yeah.
I guess we can just hope for good news for Gusto owners.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of wildcard 30 managers out there that probably had players like, Gusto, Lascelles. Possibly Mo still had Watkins in there too, and now they've come out of just using their wild card and just flags all over the field.
Yeah, I think it was FPL Harry who tweeted out that he had like 8 flags or something in his team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have to find the tweet, but yeah, it was incredible. I think that included Gordon being suspended, and quite a few injuries, but he literally had eight flags in his squad. And yeah, there was no like random selections in there. I think that was before the Arsenal game had taken place, so Saka and Gabriel were two of those.
Yes.
But even so, it was impressive. It was impressive to have that many flags in one team.
Well, it looks like a really fun midweek round. Lots of real looks like there's going to be lots of goals there. Some really good FPL permutations there. So should be lots of fun indeed, especially for game week 31 wildcarders.
Yeah, well, it is a fear of mine to have like a huge red arrow on wild card. So
That's how
hopefully
it
my
goes.
fears. Yeah, I know. Well,
It's a
hopefully
rite
not,
of
but
passage.
we'll see. We'll see. It is scary. It is scary. But I do look at my team the way my team is set up with the wild card that I've got this week, and I think surely this is a green arrow.
Yes. Well,
Yeah.
okay. Now it's time for Goodwill Punting, where we look at a differential for the game week. Andrew, fair to say we stunk it up for game week 30. I had Ben Chilwell, didn't even feature. You had Nicholas Jackson, finished up with 2 points. Luckily, he did not get a yellow card, though, which was nice.
So he survives the 2-game suspension for
Tight
another
rope.
week. Yeah. But yeah, it's been ages since my Google punting did anything. So hopefully I break the drought tonight or
Cool.
this week.
Well, who is going to be breaking that drought for you?
Christopher Wood of
Oh,
New Zealand.
choice, bro. Choice.
Yeah. Only 4.8 million, eh?
Hey, I
So
think that
he's
Chris Wood's a really good pick, eh?
yeah, he scored a really good goal the other day. He with his head.
We've
One
offended
point,
every single listener from New Zealand.
I think so. Is it
Can't help
racist
it.
if they're just like across the way? I don't
We
know.
can't help it.
Probably. No, it's impossible not to. Yeah, so I think he's 1.1% owned, four
Jeez.
point 8 million. Two he scored 2 weeks in a row now. So,
Yeah.
I think he's got a pretty good chance of extending that run home game against Fulham this week. So, and I still think that there's a decent chance that he's on pens over Morgan Gibbs-White when they're both on the field.
Okay.
I don't think we've had a penalty to Forrest yet when they've both been on the field, but he's really good at penalties. I don't see why, especially in the goal scoring form that he's in, I don't see why he wouldn't take the pens.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll find out if and when there is one this week.
Yeah, we will find out. But yeah, that's a great call. Really not. I didn't think of that.
Oh, I really like yours. So if we can swap if you want.
Okay, well, I'm going Harvey Barnes. So I talked about him needed to put that consistency together after those two goals the other day for Newcastle. Yeah, 6.2 million, but yeah, like Chris Wood, 1.1% owned. So yeah, targeting that Newcastle Everton fixture. But yeah, I'm not entirely confident, but I just sort of went with one of the
Well,
better fixtures.
surely he starts on the left now with like it for this week
Probably.
with Gordon suspended. Like I think that yeah, I think he has to start. So I actually really like this pick.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'm confident that yeah, he'll do something this week. So
Well,
yeah, we
let's see.
hopefully have one of those weeks where we both of our punts come off.
So we look smart. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's been a while since we looked smart, let's face it.
Some would argue I've never looked smart.
No, well, I wasn't going to say anything.
Anyway, time for O Captain, my captain. Top three options. I think it's got to be the Egyptian King. Just. And then daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one, Salah. We can all agree on that. Who have you got for your vice, though?
Vice, I'm going with did
You know what?
I had
I
him the wrong
think,
way around.
yeah,
I'm going with Saka.
I think I actually did that. I think I accidentally, in our little spreadsheet, I think I accidentally swapped them around. So that's my bad. So you've got Saka as your second option, yeah?
Yeah, at home to Luton, and then yeah, Heung-min Son, away to West Ham. Whereas you've gone, yeah, the Egyptian King, of course, but your vice is the Nordic midfield.
Yeah, I've gone, yeah, Haaland. Like I just think that he's had a little bit of a
He's had a bit dip.
dry spell. And I went without him a few weeks ago and haven't been punished for it. But I do think that, that little set of fixtures, that rough set of fixtures for him has finished now. And we need to start thinking about him again, as the player he was a few weeks ago. It's yeah, I don't want to. We shouldn't forget Haaland. Like, he's still Haaland at the end of the day. So, I think if it was anything but if Salah had anyone but Sheffield United at home, I would probably be saying, Haaland's the best captain. But it's you can't argue with Salah home to Sheffield United. But yeah, I've got Haaland as the second option. And I've got Saka third, probably largely because of that just tiny little risk of rotation with the midweek game against Luton, a home game against Luton, given that he is struggling a little bit with that small hamstring issue.
No, that makes complete and utter sense. But time for the FPL Signet Podcast League. So, Andrew, you've moved up to 16th. You are, or you can smell it. You can smell the top 10 at the moment.
I can see. Oh, I can see the top of the mountain. I'm getting there.
I dropped to 40th, which is rough. Jeez, this league is tough. Takes
The Sidenet League is renowned as being one of the toughest FPL leagues in the world.
creme de la creme of
Yeah,
FPL
100%.
managers out there.
Yeah, you've got a overall green arrow, but not good enough for our league.
No, yeah, so yeah, tough times, but yeah, Mahesh Sharma still leading. Been leading for quite a while now, Mahesh, and got a bit of a decent lead there. Matthew Bye, Andrew Potter, just both sitting equal second. And then, yeah, Mark Prestupa with his side, Ange, A New Hope in fourth. And yeah, also equal fourth, Serge and Besso with Spring Boss Dragon. So, yeah, it's getting tight. So, yeah, I would love to start moving up, but yeah, you're close. You're not too far off, but it was interesting to see, a few wild cards in there and a lot of hits heading into this last game week in the league. But yeah, hopefully we
Yeah,
can
interesting.
keep busting.
I'm hoping that I get a little bit of a wild card bump this week and yeah, get that little bit closer to the top 10.
Actually, manager of the game week. I almost forgot, was Hans Mateja with their side, Cale's Tribe. So in Hans' side was Onana with 3 points, Nathan Ake with one, Doughty with two, so and Romero with two. So nothing exciting.
Where's the good news coming?
Okay, so we got Sun Captain with the 20 points, Salah, 7, Palmer, 15, your friend, Jarrod Bowen, 10 points. Anthony Gordon with 8, Solanke with 7, and yeah, Watkins with 1. So yeah, 76 points.
Yeah, so it was Bowen. Bowen was the key.
Bowen and Gordon were the keys there. So
Yeah,
yeah.
fair enough. Fair enough. Great week. Great week.
Great week to have a good week. But yeah, before we wrap up, I was gonna ask you what your transfers were, but of course you're wildcarding, so it's just
Yeah.
infinity transfers for you.
Should we talk about your transfers, or are you not making one?
No, I will be. I think I might stick with the plan. I might move Doughty on for Ryan Aitnauri. I might stick the course
Yes.
on my planning and sort of see the news with Gusto. I might start him against Man United, and if he doesn't play, I've probably got Lamptey to come in his place. So I don't want to take a hit for another defender at the moment. Because who knows, if the Watkins injury is bad, then I've got a lot more funds to free up. So
Yeah, I
you
mean,
would
I
see
know
me
there
making
was a
multiple
couple of clean
transfers.
sheets. Yeah, there was a couple of clean sheets this week, but generally, clean sheets are pretty hard to come by. So you want to be very careful about taking hits for defenders. You're almost better off just taking like a one pointer with someone off the bench.
I'd probably be much better off doing that anyway. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking, especially looking ahead to that game week 34 double. But yeah, before we finish up, Twitter and Instagram at FPL Signet and at FPL underscore Point Break. So give Andrew a follow so you can keep track of that wild card setup for him and his side. Remember, they hit those like and subscribe and retweets and all that. And yeah, I want to give a special shout out to Gabe from the gold award winning Net the Hall show. He gave us a nice shout out on I was tuning into the stream Saturday morning You know, being the long weekend, everything was closed, so there was no need to rush out of the house Saturday morning. So I had the laptop going. I was watching the Net the Hall guys with, you know, the matchup show, which is just, it's essential viewing and reading. Like Gabe puts out the best matchup tweets, threads, like ahead of every round. I can't stress this enough. It helps me so much when I have a lot of 50-50 decisions. Like reading those threads, like the preview and analysis and everything. It's honestly, it's the best out there. So yeah, give us a nice little shout out, which is fantastic.
Gabe's an absolute legend. I agree with you. He's like second to none. His matchup thread and the Net That Hall pod. I always listen to the podcast version. I never seem to be around to watch it live on YouTube, but I almost never miss it. It's fantastic. So yeah, thanks for the shout out, Gabe.
Thank you so much for it. But really, really good getting that type of feedback from other people out there and joining in the FPL SideNet family. But good luck to everyone out there. It's a really quick turnaround. So thanks for joining us if you're listening, especially with that, you know, only a day and a bit to go before this episode becomes completely irrelevant. But yeah, good luck with the wild card.
Thanks, mate. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I'm looking
forward
to it.
It's always a nerve-wracking time because if a week from now I like regret a bunch of decisions, it's like there's no fixing this. Like I'm stuck with this absolute rabble until the rest of the season. So
at least you got plenty of transfers between now and the end of the season to deal with it.
Yeah, I guess so. And I've got a couple of chips up my sleeve as well. So hopefully, I mean, I'm notoriously bad at finishing the season. Like I always finish with like a string of red arrows every year. I'm so determined to have a year where I don't finish with a string of red arrows. So hopefully this is the year.
This could be the year.
Could be.
Hashtag, I believe.
All right. Thanks for that, mate.
All right. Good luck to you and good luck to everyone else out there, and let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.